Hare Krishna. Can Bhagavad Gita make one happy? Oftentimes, when we talk to our friends, family members, relatives, or even visitors, and when we refer to Bhagavad Gita to make their lives better, they often ridicule, mentioning that, come on, you know, tell me something more practical, right? So, today we will see how understanding Gita and studying Gita can actually make one's life better. So it is a fact that everyone of us, whatever we do in our lives, not just humans, even animals, every living entity, whatever we do, is just to become happier. So each one of us, we make plans to increase our happiness and to mitigate our distress. And there's nothing wrong with that. Even scriptures talk that ananda mayobhyasat. It says that it's an intrinsic nature of a living entity, you know, to become happier, you know. So there's nothing wrong in trying to be that. But the question is, what are we really happy and what actually makes us happier? Because in this world, everyone is trying to increase happiness. But what we see is that no matter how much technology we develop, or no matter whatever we are trying to do, we are, in fact, we are struggling with that actually, you know. The life is, still we can see the distress is more than happiness. So in this context, I would like to quote the case study of Arjuna. But how, in the beginning of Kurukshetra war, Arjuna was caught up, he was completely bewildered and baffled, not able to decide what are his duties, you know. Because on one side, he has a responsibility towards his family members, relatives who have raised him, who have loved him, cared for him. On the other side, he has responsibility as a Kshatriya and as a king, and is completely, you know, caught up in between what is the right duty for him. And the pain of that indecision is so much that there are tears gliding down his eyes, you know. If you think about it, for a Kshatriya, no matter how much painful, they don't cry tears. But Arjuna is crying tears. Not just that, he becomes so exasperated, he was not even able to stand firm, and he was not even able to hold the Gandiva bow, you know. The Gandiva bow is slipping from his hands, you know. That means he literally become completely hopeless and helpless and completely bereft of any energy. And he, all his intelligence, all his expertise, it couldn't really help him to come up with the conclusion actually, what is his duty. So at that time, he asked Krishna, who happened to be his friend, and Arjuna accepted him as his guru, and he asked him, my dear Krishna, please tell me what is my responsibility now? Am I supposed to fight or am I not supposed to fight? And Krishna smilingly answered that, my dear Arjuna, you are not the body, you are the soul. Arjuna was shocked. You know? He said, my dear Lord, maybe you are not understanding my question. My question is, am I supposed to fight or not fight? Because we see the battlefield, there is so much of other background noise and other things. So Arjuna thought Krishna didn't hear his question properly. To which Krishna again smilingly and confidently answered, even more assertively, you are not the body, but you are the soul, you know. And Arjuna was again about to ask, to which Krishna said, my dear Arjuna, I understood you, not only your question, but even understood the reason behind asking that question actually. And what's that reason? Because the reason is Arjuna, he is actually, he knows what is his duty. Otherwise, he wouldn't even come in the battlefield actually. Now that he saw his relatives, his kinsmen, now he got completely, you know, bewildered by the bodily relationship, because he came to bodily platform. Because of which he is not able to do his duty, you know. Right? So it is the, you know, gross misunderstanding, forgetting that he is not the body, he is the soul, is actually the cause of the problem, because of which Arjuna got confused actually. And that confusion is making unlimitedly misery, and he wanted to come out of that miserable situation. So Arjuna's situation is not much different from all of our situation. In our lives also, we, at every situation, we have to make a decision. And that decision, on what basis we are making that decision, actually will make us happy or miserable actually. And when we know actually who we are and what our needs are, then actually come out of it. Simple example, like we have some pet animals, so let us say a cow or a dog, you know. So your child may like a pizza, burger or pasta or something, but same thing, give it to the animal, he doesn't like it, you know. They like something else. A cow may like a green grass. You give the green grass to your child, he will not be happy, you know. So you want to make somebody happy, or you want to make yourself happy, for that you should know, first of all, what makes you happy, what are your needs. And to know what your needs are, you should know who you are. Unless you know who you are, you can't really know what your needs are, and you can't really become happy, right? So misunderstanding oneself to the body is actually the root cause of most of the problems in this material world. All the so-called clashes, wars, everything, you know, is all because of the misunderstanding oneself with the body actually. You know? Just like a fish, if you take a fish out of water, and no matter what facilities you give, you may give him nice AC, you may give a nice cool drink, a nice television, smartphone, what not you may give, but still the fish won't be happy actually. It will be completely restless, it gets suffocated, you know. Whatever you try to do that, but you take the fish back in the water, the fish will be completely happy. The fish doesn't need much to become happy, you know. All that it needs is something which is natural for its sustenance and happiness. That's just a water. Similarly, for a jiva, you know, all that it needs is service to the Lord and reconnection with the Lord. And Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita the same thing actually, you know. Two shlokas he speaks, one shloka he speaks. Mamaivamsho jiva loke jiva bhuta sanatana manashastrani indriyani prakritistani karshati. So in this shloka Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, all the living entities are my eternal, you know, part, fragmental part and parcel, you know, right? That means the jiva is actually part of the Supreme Lord and jiva is eternal. There is no, you know, birth and death for the soul, you know. And then Krishna further continues, he says that, but when the jiva misidentifies himself with the body, the senses and the mind, naturally karshati, naturally it struggles in this world. So the cause, Krishna clearly explaining the root cause of the struggle in this world is misidentifying with the body, you know. And he says that part and parcel. So the parts are supposed to serve the whole, that makes actually the part happy and also more meaningful. Like take a big machine, you know. And in a big machine there are so many nuts and bolts are there. You take one bolt out and that bolt has no value, not in 1 rupee value. But the same bolt, when it is in the right place, that bolt actually can do a lot of difference actually, you know. So the part has a value when it is connected with the whole actually. Another shloka Krishna says that sarva yoneshu kaunteya murtaya sambhavantiya tashat brahma mahatyonir aham bija pradapita. Krishna says that I am the seed giving father, Krishna says. So clearly it is Krishna mentioning, explaining actually who we are. In multiple places in Bhagavad Gita explains actually. So when we know who we are actually the children of the Supreme. We are actually part of the Supreme actually. And that's our identity. When you know that, then what is the child supposed to do? The child is supposed to serve the father and just be connected to the father. Father will take care of everything. It's so obvious. Similarly, when the jiva understands, I am not an orphan. Actually, I am connected with the Supreme Lord as his child. And my job is to serve. I am a part. Part is supposed to serve the whole. When you understand this thing, then and when he acts on that, immediately it satisfy that person, whether he has everything in this world or nothing in this world, still he can be really happy, you know. Right? In Ayurveda also it is mentioned, just like the body needs food, the soul needs service. The food nourishes the body, the soul nourishes the seva, that loving, selfless service to the Supreme Lord nourishes the soul actually. Right? So just by having this preliminary understanding also, I am not the body and the soul, so many mental disturbances you can easily overcome and understand I am eternal. And my identity is actually part of the part and parcel of the Lord, and I'm the child of the Lord. That itself, that basic understanding itself, can mitigate so many sufferings. And when you act upon that and service to the Lord, it gives us an eternal happiness, you know. Brahma Saukyam Tvad Anantam, you know. It is mentioned Tvad Anantam, not like the so-called material happiness, which is like a, you know, fleeting happiness. One can find a real, you know, soul satisfying happiness by serving the Lord. And that knowledge, conviction to do that, you will get by reading Bhagavad Gita. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.